Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan, and this is your Wednesday episode. You've done it. You made it halfway through the week. I couldn't be more proud of you if I tried. You did it. You know, nobody thought when we went into this week that you guys would make it to Wednesday, but you did. You made it. And that means if you just do some basic math, you got two more days, Thursday and Friday, and then it's done. By the time you're hearing this, it's probably even halfway through Wednesday. I mean, it's smooth sailing from this point on. But anyways, how are you? Are you guys good? Everything's good? Okay, good. So today we've got two cast members from Hulu's Vanderpump Villa that I'm excited for you to talk to, Steven and Gabriella. For you to listen to Vanderpump Villa. I don't, are you guys watching it? It's on Monday nights on Hulu. I think it is that kind of, it's first season. It's already got like drama. It's got, you've already got people hooking up with each other in the villa. You've got the guests that go to the chateau. So it's this kind of below decky feeling as well. I dug the entire series. And I don't know sometimes if there's Vanderpump exhaustion out there, but it is like a nice change of pace. So I really enjoyed getting to know all of these characters. I'm very curious where it's going to go from here. But, you know, if you haven't seen it, check it out. And also listen to these. I also had two of the other cast members, Marciano and Hannah, on a couple of weeks ago, and they were great as well. But for a first season show, I thought it really, I mean, it looks great. It's unintentionally hysterical at points, which I think you need from any reality TV series. So we're going to talk to them, and then we're going to do some pop culture and some Bravo stories. By the way, I love that I say pop culture and Bravo, not like it's all the same. But yeah, there's pop culture stories, which are not Bravo, and then there's Bravo stories. I have its own designation is Bravo stories. Now, tonight, did you guys watch Vanderpump Rules and then The Valley? And man, did I never think I was going to say this ever in a million years. I enjoyed The Valley tonight way more than I enjoyed Vanderpump Rules. Tonight's episode of The Valley is one of those that I think you're going to look back on and go, that is a season-defining, show-defining episode. It had everything that you want from good reality television. The Valley works for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, you have to give a credit where credit is due. We might really dislike Jax Taylor for a lot of very on-point reasons, but man, he can be hysterical to watch because he is so hypocritical. He also does this thing. He was on Vanderpump Rules tonight as well, where if you're getting Jax that wants to get along with people, he'll disagree with whatever you say and he'll say, well, you know me, I'm stupid. I don't know how to spell. I don't know how to read or I can't add. If you get that Jax, like that's the Jax that, yeah, good guy, fun guy. But then there's the other Jax. It's like, oh, fuck Katie Maloney, dude. Oh, man, Katie. Like there's two beasts within Jax Taylor, but you can't deny that it is not entertaining to watch. It's entertaining / I'm watching like an independent horror film, if that makes sense. Also, The Valley works. You have him and you have Dodie. Dodie is a legend. Like, she is a messy legend. I mean, just her committing to being herself for better or worse is another, like I said, sometimes like her and Jax are two sides of the same coin. And I almost feel that's unfair to Doty because I think Doty, it's just, I mean, you don't know, there's not a lot of people out there like Kristen Doty. And I say that as a compliment. It just, it's another one of those people fascinating to watch because she really does seem to have a certain way that she lives her life. And it's also interesting because the producers seem to really dunk on her a lot. They, you know, they'll like, if she's being hypocritical about something, they'll give you a B-roll of footage from like seven seasons of Vanderpump Rules trying to make fun of the point that she just said. And sometimes, and I feel this with Sheena as well, where it's like, man, you gotta at some point give these women respect. And I know that sounds silly, but it's like, man, they put it all out there for better or worse. I mean, and sometimes you wouldn't say some of the things that they say on reality television just because you've, you know, over the years, probably were made aware of certain behaviors. Not Sheena and Kristen, man. They fucking put the pedal to the metal. They're like, nope, we're good. We're just going to keep acting the way we've always been acting. I'm just going to commit to being me. And you've got to give credit somewhat for that because so many people will bullshit you in this life. So many people will just give you what they think you want. And I know some of you are like, well, I want the mess, but I don't mean that. You know what I'm saying? Just in polite, normal society where you're just supposed to like behave. Oh, behave. Austin Powers drop. But you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that I think in reality shows, it's the only place you should like give those people credit where they're like, no, this is me, warts and warts and warts and warts and all. And I think that really makes for a lot of good conflict. It's messy. I mean, Kristen Doty being an empath, but also, you know, saying she's protecting her friends, but then ends up like revealing the deepest, darkest secrets on national television. Not a lot of people will do that. And that's what it takes for a reality show to be successful. And I think Kristen and even Sheena at times, I don't know if that's a fair comparison, they're not doing it to be evil. I don't even know if they're really doing it to make good television. I think they're doing it because that's how they're really wired. So in a way, that is truth. That is their truth. That's what makes reality shows, is that these are real people. And I will say, I've been around both of them and I like them very much, but they really are like this. It's you know, they really are. And that's something that I think is comforting in a sense, where you're like, well, at least it's not a big act. Because sometimes with Lala, as you guys know, I've spoken on her many times this season, I think some of Lala, and I think there's a news story that we're going to do about Lala today, so buckle in, is sometimes I think it's a bit. Sometimes I think it's a bit, even though I've been told it's how she really feels. Sometimes I think it's a bit. I think it's a move. I think it's designed to get clicks, to get followers and stuff like that, which also, I mean, that's a way of going about things. It's a way of going about a career, right? It's not my favorite way of going about a career, but it, you know, you see the results. It works. Sometimes it really works. So you have that with Valley, Jax and Kristen. And then the other thing that this show does right, and it's almost by happenstance, it's almost like luck of the draw, is that they manage to start filming a show when one, potentially two of the couples, but one definitely had a secret that they were hiding from each other and that their marriage was pretty much donezo. You know, and I'm talking about Jesse and Michelle Lally. Now, Jesse, you know, is fighting to keep this marriage, but it's not some noble thing because, you know, just seeing Jesse on a handful of episodes, you kind of understand the position that Michelle might have been in, that realizing this is probably not the love of my life. Now, if you're one of the cast members of The Valley or Vanderpump Rules, I always say don't listen to these podcasts because you're real people. It hurts to hear these things. It hurts to hear how the audience will perceive you, how the audience perceives you, how the edit perceives you, how the producers perceive you. It's hard because human nature, also you want to argue with every little thing because, you know, sometimes you want to stand up for yourself. So I imagine being on a reality television, and that's what we've talked about for the last 4 years, it's, you pay a price. You pay a price for earning the paycheck you do. And in reality television, paying the price, I think, is being perceived maybe very truthfully, but sometimes the truth really hurts. And when you're being perceived truthfully on a grand scale, when a million plus people a week are watching you and making snap judgments, and usually we're pretty close. The audiences are pretty sophisticated. But it's got to be really painful, and it can't, especially when you're going through a marriage breaking up, it's got to be really extra hurtful. But unfortunately, that's those things where it's not a deal with the devil, but at the same time, I don't know if sometimes these people realize what it really takes and what the real cost is of getting a lot of Instagram followers, paying the mortgage, you know, all of the other brand deals that come with it. And it's so funny because the Valleys is also interesting because you have Dodie and Jax, both who were let go from Vanderpump Rules, both talking about, you know, the fall from grace. And Jax really hitting over the head of, I'm not making enough money. All of a sudden, I'm not making any money at all. I got to get this bar into production. I got to sell hair care products. Did you ever think that you would see a day? By the way, I should have just saved this for my Valley recap. I'm an idiot, but I got to talk. Did you ever think you'd see a day where Jax Taylor admitted his hair was thinning? Like, oh my God. And then that led me to down a rabbit hole, because you can type in anything into Google these days and you'll get it. I just like Jax Taylor balding, and a bunch of photos popped up where it really did look. I was like, holy shit. In the back of his hair, there's like all these big spots. Now, part of me just with the conversation about Bravo lately is like, what's true? What's real? What's fake? Is this staged? Part of me was like, did Jax like shave his hair in the back right in that area just so he could do a storyline about having sell hair care products for a brand deal? Like, part of me was like, is this real? Did Jax like shave his hair in weird ways to make it look like he had a huge balding spot? Or does he really have a balding spot? You just don't know with Jax, right? So anyway, so the thing is, and the show, I wonder how much the show knew, how much it actually came from Kristen, because Kristen's the one that outed that whole secret. Kristen told Jax. Jax starts the episode going, hey, Kristen told me this, but I can't have Kristen say that out loud. I'm like, doofus, you just said it out loud. It's like frickin' frack. It's amazing television. So the show, first season, you have this thing already in motion where a marriage is completely falling apart, but the husband doesn't even realize to what degree. The husband doesn't realize that Michelle had a boyfriend a year ago. The husband doesn't realize all of these things. And it's not like he is some amazing dude, but at the same time, you're like, whoa, you're going to watch this dude watch new information come out about his wife. So you have that. You have a fish out of water in Luke. I mean, Luke, we found out, just got like running water and electricity up in Colorado before he met Kristen. That's what I'm telling you, man. Kristen must have came around. He's probably like, holy shit. She's like an Avenger. She's an X-Men. I've never seen a woman like her in my life. Imagine that. Not having like electricity or Wi-Fi, and all of a sudden you go to a wedding and meet Kristen Doty. Holy balls. You'd be like, what? There are people like that out there in the world? Hell yeah, I'll go to California with you. That sounds amazing. You have that. Zach and Jasmine, they're great kind of side characters. Good commentary. The other thing it has is, well, I meant the Jax balding thing. I think that's a big thing for me. It's not why it works, but it just makes me, I don't know, it makes me feel warm inside. And then Janet's an interesting character for so many reasons, but it's also because she's been around all these Vanderpumpers for like 7 years. She was one of Sheena's best friends at first. Like, she met Sheena first like 7 years ago, and then has known them, has been around them. So she knows, like I've said many times on these Valley recaps, she knows where all the bodies are buried. She knows about all these characters, but she was in a couple of episodes in the background kind of Vanderpump Rules, but never in like a main storyline. So if I was a producer, I'd be thinking about seasons to come. Is that Janet's got all this stuff to pull from. Janet's got all this stuff. She speaks the Vanderpump language. And I think that's really important for the show as well. So my hat's off to the Valley, 6 episodes in, but great. It finally overtook Vanderpump Rules for my enjoyment personally this week. It wasn't like Vanderpump Rules was a horrible episode by any stretch of the imagination. I think me, because I'm sad, I'm way too invested in Vanderpump Rules that sometimes it just doesn't, you know, because I look at it from an investigative reporter angle, you guys, you know. No, it's just like, it doesn't hold the same. I think it's, that show has caused so much joy and so much pain that, you know, the Valley just is, it's much easier. It's like highly dramatic, but I'm not, You know what? I got to think about this a little bit more before I commit this to an audio podcast. Okay, so The Valley, go check it out if you haven't. I swear to God, they're not advertising on this show, but I think it's I think it's something special. And at this point, I'm like, holy shit, 6 episodes in. I think they're having a 12 to 14 episode season, and now they just got a reunion. So I'm like, can they stick the landing? Can it keep getting better? Or is it going to peter off? Because I thought Vanderpump Rules, they were going up on the roller coaster, bam, 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 bam. And then it kind of dropped and it hasn't really picked back up for me in certain ways. Like certain scenes are magic, like that DJ James Kennedy, Tom Sandoval scene from last week. The meta-ness of, Rachel Levis and the podcast wars, that kind of stuff. But then sometimes I'm just like, oh man, can we just get to the end of this so we can move on to next season? Ariana can be out of the house. Everybody can stop bitching about that. We can find out where Tom Sandoval, finds a place to stay. Just let's get to it already. I'm just ready. I'm ready to get to it. I'm ready to wash my hands of this season. And we'll always remember Scandoval. It will never be forgotten. But I'm ready to move on in some ways. And the other thing is, I don't know if we ever really can and will move on, just because there are legitimately there's court cases now, which I have a new story to tell you about in a second. Also, the other thing, I'm just so bummed because I thought next week was the season finale, because I was initially told 14 episodes, and I know the season finale, well, it was the season finale, was at the San Francisco Kyle Chan party. That was when they were wrapping filming. So I get to the end of this week's episode, episode 13, right? This is episode 13. I get to episode 13. I'm like, on the season finale of Vanderpump Rules, and it doesn't come. So now I'm thinking, do they make the San Francisco trip a 2-episode thing? And we'll get, the announcement for the season finale next week. Or did they keep filming in some way, or in some way pick back cameras up at some point? But I really legitimately thought the finale was next week and then we were going into the reunion. But wrong. Wrong again, folks. Shakes fist at sky. Folks, summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. Now, I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I got a pair of tan shorts, I got a pair of green shorts. I cannot wait to style these for summer, and I gotta tell you, the quality is great, because Quince has all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Oh, folks, I also want to let you know, so anybody that listens from a podcast app, a couple of podcast apps like Overcast was one in particular, that my podcast episodes had not been updating for the last couple of weeks. Think we found the problem today. So I was finally able to add myself back on Overcast and then a couple of other podcast apps. Hopefully I didn't lose too many people in the process, because I know how personal podcasting apps are to people. I'm not even joking. I really know how important that is. So I'm sorry it's taken so long to figure it out, but we figured it out. If for some reason you still can't get it, you can email me at sobadit'sgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com. You can try to DM me. If I'm on my phone at the time and I see it, I will answer it. But sometimes I will not be, and things stack up and I just don't get to them. And I'm very sorry about that. But email me and I can walk you through it. But basically, it's putting the show's URL and adding the podcast again, and then it'll pop right up. I tried it on a bunch of podcasting apps today, and they've all worked for me. Also in the Facebook group, what's up, baddies? I let them know as well, and it seems to be starting to work for them. So I am so sorry about that. It was nothing on my end. Very frustrating when people can't find it. You know, like, this is like, I put so much time and, you know, this is my life's work, damn it. But in a sense. So let me know if you're still having problems, and myself or Sandra will try to fix it for you. But just wanted to let you know, I'm aware it's supposedly fixed, and let the good times roll. Now, today, well, this is tonight. I'm Tuesday night talking to you after watching all the shows. I also watched this week's Summer House already. Man, not a lot. I want to say, well, you know, the only thing I will say, there's a scene that takes place in Old Navy. And if you guys have been listening to the show for a while, Old Navy has a very personal meaning in my life as my number one place that I shop for my clothing. That and Amazon.com. if there's anybody out there that wants to style me and put me in outfits and I'll be your model, let me know. Email me at sobaditsgoodwithryanbl@gmail.com. But there's a whole scene that takes place in Old Navy that I'm almost 100% sure is like advertising within the show. But I was just like, hell yeah, Old Navy, brother, we're doing it. Fashion is back. So Tuesday night, tomorrow morning, I get up early. I'm going to New York, and my dad is coming. Bill Bailey is flying from Arizona to New York. My birthday is on Thursday, and we're going to have a good old time in the old NYC, New York City. Going to see a musical. I'm going to see a play, and hopefully have a good time. I don't really get excited for my birthday anymore. and this one, I think will be, I don't know. You know, I actually realized this on the podcast last week. I think I said it'll be the first one without my mom. So there's a part of me that has been thinking about that of obviously this week. It's not like I don't think about my mom every day, but you know, but I'm going into it with a good attitude, and hopefully everything's good, but I'm really glad my dad's going to be there. I'm so glad my dad's going to be there, because I know it's going to be tough for him too. And I think it's great to be together for these moments, especially in the first year, trying to figure out things, and hopefully we can figure it out together. I have a good attitude now, but I get really sad sometimes. And I also get really angry sometimes. There's a couple times where I get really kind of angry about things, with mom. Just in, you know, the last little bit of time she was with us, and how sometimes dying can take away certain dignities in life. And, you know, there's a lot of humanity that goes into dying, but sometimes it takes away personal dignity. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, anyways, we don't need to talk. I want to talk about Lala. I don't even know. That wasn't even a plan. Anyway, so I'm going to be in New York, basically. So I'm flying in. I'll go out to dinner, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to do the Vanderpump Rules recap. I'm going to try to still get the shows out on time, because my God, I know how needed it all is. But no, I want to, you know, I don't want to get behind. So I'm going to do that. Hopefully everything will go smoothly, because when hasn't it gone smoothly over here? It's so bad, it's good. But just wanted to let you know, I've got a plan. Everything's good. Okay. You guys don't need to be worried about me. It's all good. This is an interesting story, actually. Donna Bowling from the podcast Daily Dose of Donna, she did a video on this, and I found it really intriguing, is that we did a news story last week, maybe when Sophie was on, that Bethany Frankel, the old Frankelnator, she rebranded her podcast Just Be, and it's Just Be Divorced. And there were a couple of episodes out talking about her divorce with Jason Hoppe, and I thought it was... I did not listen to it. I was sent a bunch of clips from it, and the clips were so personal, and I talked about my feelings about that on the show, and I just thought, wow, you know, it's a reality show in itself, is monetizing your pain. And I guess maybe Bethany would think that's a savvy business move, but at a certain point, I was just like, oh man, talking about, you know, a trigger warning, miscarriage, and that she was happy that it happened and things of that nature. And I just thought, whew, that's rough all the way around to personally mine it from yourself again. The Jason Hoppy of it all, her daughter, all of these things. Now, Bethany's mom, unfortunately, I think she passed away last week, and I read Bethany's Instagram post about her mom on Monday's episode. Well, today, I guess she has removed those episodes. She has removed those episodes. I don't think there is a statement that has come out yet as of Tuesday night why she did that. So there's a lot of options in my head swimming around. Could it be that her mom passed and it made her really rethink, you know, relationships and what she is sharing with her very, you know, large audience? Did Jason actually do some kind of legal maneuvering to potentially do a cease and desist on it? There are a lot of thoughts that went through my head about this, and I think overall it is the right decision to pull that. Now, I could be completely wrong. Maybe it's going to be up on the old podcast airwaves tomorrow, but it was removed as of today. I checked it myself. It was not there. I just checked it again. Was not there. But I think that is the right move, and I think it's been a very wild year, obviously, for Bethany with trying to get this reality reckoning going, the Rachel Levis stuff, her mom, you know, all of that stuff. It's got to really wear on you in so many ways. So, is not up any longer, but I'm sure we will have a statement at some sort from Bethany because she is usually not quiet about this. But I just hope it doesn't start more legal wrangling between Jason and Bethany. So that was a little fascinating. Well, this is a story that potentially is going to make Lala mad. Katie Maloney and Ariana Madix's sandwich shop, Something About Her, I don't know if you've heard of it, will finally open its doors on Wednesday, May 22nd of the year of our Lord, 2024. The U.S. Sun, which, you know, they're hit and miss. Sometimes they nail it, sometimes they don't. So take everything with a grain of salt, obviously. But they say a source exclusively revealed to the U.S. Sun that the sandwich shop will have its grand opening celebration on Wednesday, May 22nd. Prior to this, the cafe will have soft openings leading up to May 22nd, which means it'll probably be open to the public here and there, but not in any kind of official capacity where they'll invite press and things of that nature. Now, after the grand opening, Something About Her will host a big WeHo Pride party, which will take place during WeHo Pride weekend, Friday, May 31st through Sunday, June 2nd. If I'm not mistaken, also Kylie Minogue is playing Pride this year, which is huge. The inside of the shop is ready to go. Everything is still in place as it has been teased on the show, the source confirmed. So they just probably need to fix the outside, which they all had to take down and kind of rejigger things due to West Hollywood code restrictions. But yeah, that's great. May 22nd. Now, May 22nd, Wednesday, May 22nd, if I'm doing some light math in my head, which I am not good at, Tuesdays are Vanderpump Rules. Would that be somewhere at the end of Vanderpump Rules? Will that be the last night of the finale? Last night of the reunion, that Tuesday, and then Wednesday will be the grand opening, which would be kind of very savvy, a nice little marketing move, or maybe like the second to last reunion, and then it'll, you know, the last reunion, the place will have been open for like a week. That's what I'm thinking, so. Are you guys going to go? I'm going to go. I mean, the thing is, I think there's such demand for that from just the Bravo audience. And like I've told you guys many times, TomTom is right there. You walk like a block and a half. Something About Her is there. You walk a block and a half more. You got Sir, the restaurant where Peter works. Poor Peter. I miss you so much, buddy. So you really have that nice little trifecta. I mean, Pump obviously no longer, but you got the TomTom, the Something About Her, and the Sir, all in, you know, just three goofy city blocks. And then the Sir Alley, I count actually as four. I count that as something separate. I think the Sir Alley is just a holy, holy place. I think that should be deemed a historical landmark. I don't know how many years something has to be somewhere until like the city can. I feel like, and wait, should I do that, you guys? I mean, I know this sounds like a joke, but is there a way that I could actually go to like a City of West Hollywood board meeting and propose that the Sir Alley become a historic landmark? Oh my God. Like, I'm saying this out loud and it's funny, sure, but I also kind of mean it. It's like when I say Good as Gold is just actually a great song. It's like, I get people think Good as Gold is funny, but I genuinely think it's a bop. So like, I get the humor in declaring the Sir Alley a historical landmark, But at the same time, I think it deserves to be a historical landmark. Could you imagine? Dear City of West Hollywood board members, my name is Ryan Bailey. I do a podcast for Betches called So Bad It's Good. We've been in operation about 4 years. So much shorter than the time that the Sir Alley has been an alleyway. And in those times, it has seen so many fights, breakups, makeups. And then I just have like video clips of everything. And I just imagine like the City of West Hollywood board members would just be like, oh my God, he's right. And then like at the end of my impassioned speech, you know, just like people are just standing up and like, it starts slow, like in Can't Buy Me Love at the very end of the last scene when like Patrick Dempsey stands up for the guy being bullied. And then one guy claps awkwardly and then everybody starts clapping. Historical landmark. Yeah. Like that's what I could do. Could you imagine that? I'm getting goosebumps. Just my nipples fully hard right now. Just thinking about this. I'm going to do this. What if this is like my first foray into government? I was like, man, you know, I really didn't think much about it, but I went in there and I just felt something and I'm running, baby. 2028. Bailey Sandoval, 2024. Sorry, 28. We're not good with numbers. Okay, what else is here?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
We've got some Salt Lake City news. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is currently filming its new season. And Page Six got an exclusive. Get this, you guys. Mary Cosby, she's back this season. She allegedly called Lisa Barlow's 12-year-old son Henry, a.k.a. Baby Gorgeous, the R word during a heated argument. And when I think R word, I've just been watching The Valley, so I think racist Republican. But the R word is the other R word, and whoa, Angela. Sorry, that's in my Tony Danza. That is horrific. Can you imagine if that is true? And then could you, Lisa Barlow will like, oh my God, what are you doing? I'm going to rip your hair out. She will lose her mind. But then I was reading a little bit more about this. And then one source said that actually this is not the full story, that Lisa actually started this argument and went in on Mary Cosby's son. And Mary Cosby's son, if you have followed, has had some struggles with substance abuse issues. And I'm not sure if that will come out on this season, or hopefully they'll stay away from it, because I don't know if any good can come from that. So one source says Lisa Barlow started this, which then led Mary Cosby to say that. But you can never say that. You can't, that's, no, you don't say that. You don't say that about a 12-year-old boy. You don't say it about, you're not supposed to say it about anybody, but you're especially not a 12-year-old boy. My goodness. And that kid is a sharpshooter. That kid probably has more money in his bank, that Fresh Wolf money, more money in his bank account than all of us combined. No, no, but sounds like a good season. Sounds like we got some fights going. Okay, let's switch gears. Let's go back to Vanderpump Rules. I want to talk about Lala again. I want to talk about Lala, and I'm in my soft era. I've always been in my soft era. I'm a bit of a pussy, as you guys know. But I want to talk about Lala because she did an Amazon Live. She did an Amazon Live. Yeah, that's right. Like, one of my main sources of news are Amazon Lives now, because Kyle and Lala do them all the time. But she was asked a question, which I'm going to play for you in a second. Now, this is from an account, Reality Ops, which I like on Instagram and TikTok. Just Reality OPS. Go give them a follow. I like them a lot. But check this out. And I want, you know, she gets emotional in this. And I think her feelings are very valid. So that's not what we're going to talk about after. But I want you guys to hear this and let me know what you think.
News has literally never.
Alicia asks, what can we expect from the episode tonight? How many episodes left till the finale? Alicia, I have to be honest with you. I have not been watching. I don't know what is in tonight's episode. I sent out a message to, I feel like I finally made peace. The reunion really shook me up. And I was like, I started getting into this mode of, because I'm a feeler. And then I don't know how to be quiet. I like, and it's like, well, you don't have to be quiet, but maybe like keep your feelings to your inner circle. No, I have to tell everybody. To tell everybody how I feel. And I was kind of getting into a darker place this season. I've stayed off the internet, but I don't need to stay off the internet. Like, I know what people are saying. The backlash that I'm getting. And unfortunately, it's hard because I don't regret any of the season. So it's just best that I stay kind of away from it. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
I texted my team. I said I want to avoid anything that has to do with Bravo or this season. I just want to enjoy my pregnancy. This is like, this is my real life. And I know, like, this show is too, but I just want to stay in my real life of, like, creating my family. So I've just been staying away from all that stuff. Because I live, like, a really amazing, amazing life. And I feel really happy about all of the changes that I've made in my world to get to where I am, and I'm really proud of the success that I've gained on my own with many, many years of hard work, and I just want to, like, relish in that, and I don't want strangers to make me feel silly or stupid. Sorry, I don't know why I'm emotional right now. I think I'm just tired.
I'm pregnant.
Yes. And I love Bravo and NBCU, and I love Vanderpump Rules, and I love all of you guys, but this is a really important time in my life, and I will be damned if anybody tarnishes or gives me memories of it not being a beautiful time in my life. You know, welcoming a daughter in September, like, I have nothing to complain about, so I'm not going to allow strangers who watch a television show, and I'm happy that they're invested. I'm so happy. They're just things that I don't want to see and I don't want to know about. Sorry.
Let it out.
Thank you.
We love you.
Good Lord.
So that was Lala on her Amazon Live. And I think any feeling person would want anybody, including Lala, to have the best pregnancy ever, to completely have the best pregnancy ever, want her to be in that bubble, want her to feel all of the joy. The problem that when you're fans of these shows, you do pay attention to all of it. And they really, they get rewarded for us watching so intensely, for talking about it, all of this. And Lala knows that better than anybody. Lala is, I think, a savvy business person. I have said many times until I'm blue in the face, I think Lala will have a career long past Vanderpump Rules. I think she has a very magnetic personality. But I think the other thing with Lala, though, and you just have so many examples, is that she talks out of both sides of her mouth sometimes, and she talks in a lot of circles. And it doesn't make me dislike her, but it is frustrating sometimes to be a Lala fan because, you know, if she had done the reunion and said, hey, I'm pregnant, I'm going to stay in this bubble, nobody's going to affect my happiness, you know, the show is the show, it's real, but we'll see you guys next season. But she didn't. She left that reunion and went on a month-long press tour, bad-mouthing Ariana, making jokes about it. And the thing is, if we're supposed to extend empathy and kindness and all of this love, for this example, Lala, then you're not doing the same for your fellow castmates. You're not doing the same for Ariana, and never does it have to be tit for tat. But I think sometimes her not acknowledging or even realizing in the moment is sometimes incredibly frustrating, because you don't want her to get to a point where she cries. You want her to be happy. But at the same time, there sometimes are consequences for the constant amount of shit that you spew out there. Believe me, I know that better than anybody sometimes, you know, and unfortunately. And it's that thing of like, okay, hands off, you know, I'm going to come out really hard. I'm going to do the gangster Lala. You don't want to get popped. And then it's, you know, I think those kind of messages are like the real Lala. I think Lala is, that's what I think. Sometimes it is a character, and I sometimes call it a bit almost, because I think right there, that audio, I think that's very real Lala. I think, you know, if you're one of her real life friends or her family, you know, she's probably just so real and so emotional with you that you can't help but be endeared by her, or like, be, you know, find her very endearing. I think as a fan, though, as somebody that watches these shows and listens to her podcast or listens to any of the numerous interviews she's done after the reunion, it's then hard to like kind of flip that switch and be like, oh, you know, because, you know, other people have feelings too. And it's not just the Lala show, it's the everybody show. And when you're going to go out of your way to say things and put yourself above the rest of the people that you work with, I think that's where sometimes the issue is. And, you know, that was a heartbreaking clip for me in certain ways to listen to, because, man, you want people to be happy, especially during a pregnancy, and you want it to be filled with love. But at the same time, you know... you went to that well so many times, making it a very negative experience directly after the reunion, where we think, man, it's got to be World War III, where it was like, I was like at some point convinced that I was like, man, Lala seems like she hates Ariana. Like, I've literally been waiting for whatever Lala has on Ariana to come out, because it seems like, man, something bad must have happened for her to speak the way that she was doing, not just on the show, but in the press about her. Because I thought, and I said this on Sheena's podcast last week, I just thought, listen, I don't know what it would be like to be Ariana. And, you know, no matter how many brand deals, Broadway shows you get, any of that, when you still hear something really, you know, hurtful about yourself, no matter how much money you have in the bank or whatever you've done, you know, or whatever opportunities you're getting, it still hurts at the end of the day. You know, it doesn't take away the hurt just because you have money in your account. It doesn't, you know, and it's just that's the only question. So I'm curious what you guys think. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Do you have empathy completely for Lala? Is it something of like, oh, girl, give it a rest. You've done this time and time again. But it is one of those things that I think is interesting. Just because I'm still just trying to understand why the full court press. And now all of a sudden you're like, bravo, don't send me anything. I don't want to talk about the show. I'm like, yeah, of course you didn't, because you talked about it for a month and it didn't really sit well with a lot of the fans.
and even fans that really love Lala. And the thing is, you can have disagreements or you can talk about these things. And like I said, I still like Lala. It's not like it's Sandoval. It's like, you know, it's, but at the same time, I'm a little confused. I'm just wondering what that was. What happened that Lala was like, fuck it, burn it to the ground. I'm going to do every interview I can, because I didn't think she needed to do any of that. And I think she would have been just as successful as she is now. And I think a lot about brands. And she talks about even in this season of like, I'm just a bitch in these streets trying to rebrand. What is the rebrand? Is the rebrand like I'm soft, but then you went on complaining for a month about somebody that we really couldn't understand why you were complaining about it? I mean, some of the haters really understood because they just hate Ariana, but a lot of people were genuinely concerned, confused about it. The other thing that Lala did this week on her podcast, which, by the way, this is great. And probably this is why you do it, right? This is why you do it. This is why you say batshit crazy things, because it drives clicks. It gets people listening. And Lala, like I said, is a dynamic personality that's magnetic. So it's kind of funny to watch somebody like kind of spew bullshit sometimes. And she went on her podcast last week and started talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and said, oh, I heard from a really high place source that it's a complete bullshit relationship, that he's still out there smashing in these streets. He's in there smashing in these streets. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you trying to be? What is the rebrand? Now, are you just going to say wild things about people? Like, who is your source? Who is your source? Is Sheena your source? Who is your, is it your brother? Is Jessica, your assistant host, your source? Who is your source that is telling you that Travis Kelce is still smashing in these streets? And it just sometimes feels like it feels like a shock jock in a way. It feels like, and I just wonder, I don't know. It is very confusing. And I just thought, are you just trying to rile people up? Because that will drive business. I mean, there have been so many times even in putting these podcasts together where I'm like, I used to joke about it last year. Like, oh, podcast wars. I'm going to get into wars with a bunch of podcasters. It was like an obvious joke, though, because I didn't want to be at war with anybody. Even people that have tried to pull me into wars, in podcasting wars, I just, my heart's not in. Why, you're all create. Why would I? No. But it's exciting for an audience. People really are drawn to that stuff. It does drive business. I don't know. I just think that at the end of the day, you end up then doing an Amazon Live where it all becomes too much and you have a potential, you know, where you break down, where you show your real emotions. Who knows? That's just my take on it. You guys obviously will have your own takes, but wanted to put it out there. Listen, let's get to the interview right now, even though, as always, like I say, I have like 30 other news stories, including Sandoval's representation, which is one of the Garagos brothers, not Mark Garagos, but Mark Garagos's brother, Mark Garagos. He is the guy that represents the Reality Reckoning and used to represent Scott Peterson. Tom Sandoval is being represented by Mark Garagos's brother, which, isn't that a conflict of interest? If you have families, like Mark Garagos's brother is representing Tom Sandoval in the lawsuit that Rachel brought before the court. We'll talk about this more on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, but let's get to some more Vanderpump. Just let's get to Vanderpump Villa. We have two of the cast members that I think you're going to fall in love with, but I will say this interview is all over the place because Gabriella, her Wi-Fi was spotty. So she just disappears sometimes and then she'll pop back in. And I only had an allotted amount of time and Steven was so awesome. I loved Steven so much. So she keeps kind of popping in and out throughout the interview. So if you all of a sudden, it's the fun of podcasting. It's an art form, but I think these two guys are great. I had a lot of fun talking with them. We play a game of, is it so bad or is it so good in regards to Vanderpump Villa, which you can find on Hulu on Monday nights. You guys have the best Wednesday ever. And then hopefully I'll talk to you on Thursday, my birthday, for Vanderpump Rules Thursday. I love you guys. Mean it. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, welcome back to So Bad It's Good, presented by Betches Media. Today, I've talked about this show now multiple times. It is one of my new favorite reality shows. I've seen all 10 episodes of this show. I know exactly where this show is headed. Now, we're only on the fourth episode for you guys, but this show gets crazier and crazier. Now, this is in the south of France, and Lisa Vanderpump, she is doing what she does best. These unique experiences for guests, and it's amazing because the staff she has chosen are amazing, but they get themselves in a lot of trouble. We have two of the amazing cast members with us today, Steven Ausvig and Gabriella Sannin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Ryan, I love your energy.
Oh, good. That's all I have, Gabriella, is energy. I feel like I want to work with you guys really, you guys have the best energy as well. And I mean, you two in particular, because a lot of these people, I had Hannah and Marciano on a couple weeks ago, and those guys are, they're really insane because they are... They were in a relationship. They're not in a relationship, but you guys are there to like have a good time, but also to give the guests a great experience. Would you agree?
Right.
I mean, 100%. That was the whole goal of us being there. That's like, we're the perfect dream team to make that happen.
Yeah. And Lisa definitely, of course, Lisa definitely knew what she was doing because she, you know, she's employing people, but also casting. So it's like, I need a little bit of both. So I completely understand where she was going with this.
Well, speaking of casting, how did you guys get involved in this show? Because Steven, I know you're one of the only people that worked for Lisa Vanderpump previously. Gabriella, how did you get involved in this show? How was the casting process for you?
I had a casting producer just reach out to me on Instagram, saw that I did events. I have it in my bio on Instagram. I'm very passionate about what I do. So they reached out and we had a phone call and he's like, oh, you're it. And I was like, oh my God, really? I was like, no way.
You're like, I always felt like I was it, but it's great to have confirmation that I'm definitely it.
I knew this, but like, okay. So yeah, it took like probably a 2 to 3 month process of me just, you know, going back and forth with them. And then finally I had my final interview with Lisa. And, you know, the energy aligned between her and I. And she's like, well, you're going to France. I actually, right after I had my interview with her, I'm in another room, a green room, and the casting director walks in and goes, so, Gabriella, I'll see you in France.
Whoa!
And I'm like, wait, what? Like, for real? And she's like, yes. And I'm like freaking out, crying, calling my parents. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was trying to let the audience like try to explain to them is that you guys do come from a service industry. You're not, right. I mean, like TV is something that maybe was not on your radar. So this is kind of like a big deal on top of what you do. Most people don't get chosen to go to the south of France. I want those audition tapes. I want Lisa Vanderpump telling you that you get to go to the south of France because that seems like kind of a really cool moment in your life.
It really was a cool moment, even for me. You know, so like my story is I worked for Lisa for 5 years prior to this. I was her first maitre d' at Vanderpump Cocktail Garden. I was her opening manager at Vanderpump Opry. And as we've all heard, I was naughty, got let go by Caesars.
Yeah, what does that mean, Steven, by the way? We know that you're naughty. What does that mean exactly? Because you seem like on point on the show. What were you naughty about?
Point on the show because I was naughty one time. I was on point at my actual job too. I'm just gonna be blunt. I'm single, and we all know that I made that trophy comment. Edit, but I don't really date. I'm not looking for a relationship, but I've got a couple daddies on the roster, and two of them decided to visit me at the opening of Vanderpump Opry, and I delivered talk to their table. I made an innuendo regarding the Eiffel Tower, and it was overheard. And And Caesars being the corporate entity that they are, we're like, you know, that's not on brand for what we're doing here. And so it wasn't because I was ever, you know, bullying my staff or going off on managers or anything like that. That happened. I made the innuendo to the Eiffel Tower. I got reported to HR. I was forthcoming and honest about it. I said, you know what? I did make that comment and won't happen again, thinking, oh, they're going to slap me on the wrist, suspend me for a day or two maybe and bring me back. Little did I know, it was, no, like, you are no longer with us. You're not rehirable by, you know, this company. And I kind of gave up the Vanderpump dream then and there. And I moved on to opening a few other venues here in Vegas and working for a long time with Spiegelworld. But, you know, I was very proud of my career. I'm still very proud of my career. But because of all of that, that's why I'm so on edge on the show. You're going to see me like very, very focused on being professional, because I'm not going to let myself lose another Vanderpump opportunity.
Well, and also, Stephen, I got to compliment you specifically. You pull off ear jewelry. You have the most amazing ear jewelry in your talking head. Where did we get the ear jewelry from? How, do you wear ear jewelry at your, where you work in Vegas right now every night?
I sure do. I love my Mickey Mouse earrings. That's what I'm known for. I'm a Disney adult, a big Disney adult. So most of the time it's Mickey Mouse, but whenever I'm really trying to show out, especially on the strip, it's one of those big old ear cuffs that I very proudly tote that are from Claire's.
I was like, I could never pull off the ear jewelry, and you pull it off. That's amazing. So tell the audience how, like, so you, is there like some kind of training that you guys all went through as a group? Because it seems like in a way, even though you're all professionals, you got thrown into the deep end. Like, you all get there and you immediately have to go into presenting these amazing experiences that Lisa has planned for these guests. What was the training like?
Well, to be blunt, Lisa has stated this in all of the interviews leading up to the premiere of the show. She hired professionals because she didn't have time to train. And then I think something the audience and the general public needs to understand about filming something like reality TV is, for us, it was 6.5 weeks of 24/7 filming, even when we were sleeping. So to fit all of that into 10 45-minute episodes, there's so much that you're not going to see that you'd probably think like, oh, that would make so much sense if I had just known that detail. But it's kind of the stuff that you would kind of hope people would just assume, like, okay, she hired professionals. She probably told them what they need to do. So let's just get the guests in, because there wasn't time to fit all of that in unless you were there as a live audience. So the training was really more so like Lisa sitting down with us, each of our individual jobs. So Gabrielle and I at a table, she gave us a list of our duties and said, you know what you're doing. Go do it.
That's amazing. And it makes for good TV, though, because I feel like you and I feel like Gabriella, you seem like you guys know what you're doing. But at the same time, some of these people don't seem like they are up to snuff. Speaking of Lisa Vanderpump, though, you cannot argue that this person is not only one of the queens of reality television, but she truly is one of the great business people of, like, the restaurant game. What did you learn from working with her, Gabriella? And then we'll go to Steven.
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, you really just have to watch her and just watch her move and take in the way that she sees things and how she processes them and then brings them into motion. I'm definitely the type of person to read into people and observe. She just has such an eye for what people like, with putting her own spin on it. So she's very much the person of, okay, how can I put my taste, my expertise, and still please these people, her guests, and just do it effortlessly and elegantly, gracefully. I mean, all of the above, what she is. So, and that's definitely my approach on things, you know, very gracious, very kind, but still powerful. And that power just exudes. Yeah. And it's like, holy shit, like, she's legit, you know? And I didn't know Lisa very well. You know, I didn't watch Vanderpump Rules. I never watched Beverly Hills, anything like that. But
what's wrong? Wait, what's wrong with you, Gabriella? Why are you not watching? These are iconic shows. You're part of Vanderpump Villa, which is now an iconic show as well. You've got to, you know, come on.
But at the same time, I'm happy that I didn't, because I was able to walk into that chateau, meet Lisa, and have this very organic experience of meeting her for the first time and learning from her in a professional environment. And she's also very, very, like, sexy and fun. And she, you know,
I mean, she's always so well put together. She dresses so perfectly. Hot. I mean, When she was making you guys the roasted chicken, I was like, how is she like dressed perfectly bringing you out this food that she made? Which, by the way, can you just tell me, was the food good or bad? You can be honest.
It was good. I mean, not my mom's Puerto Rican food, but it was good.
Stephen, what do you think about Lisa? Because you did work for her for a long time before this.
That also led into some of the mannerisms and the way I acted and performed at the Chateau. Unlike so many others, I could see that she wanted to give me that maternal love that she was giving to the rest of the staff. I had that chip on my shoulder from the way I was let go from Caesars, but also I've always looked at her strictly as a boss. And then before that, for another 5 years before that, she was like a celebrity who I always wanted to meet. So when it comes to like things that I've learned from Lisa, though, from this experience, I want to actually compare her to one of my other role models, one of my very few. It's my dad. My dad's the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, he's the first Sergeant of the Air Force, Chief Master Sergeant John Allsvig. And something that Lisa and him have in common is you can be an expert in any field. You can be good at your job no matter what you do. You can even just be, you know, a garbage man. But what sets any of those positions and fields apart is the passion and love you have for doing that. Lisa has that passion. She has that love. My dad, he bleeds blue because the Air Force is his pride and joy. And that's why people know people like Lisa. They know my dad in the military. Like my dad, I would say, is the Lisa Vanderpump of the Air Force in some ways. Like their passions and their drives are so well known. They don't just take it seriously, but it's what they live for outside of, you know, their family. Like that's their second love. And you see that with everything Lisa does. And one thing I want to coin is I had a line at the Chateau and I told Lisa, you know, being here, it's one of those things where you can tell that this is Lisa Vanderpump. Like Lisa Vanderpump has her own brand and her own way of doing things, but she never does the same thing twice.
I love that. That's great. I mean, let's put that on a shirt. Stephen, also, I was rewatching the episode from last week, and I love that you brought up you were raised in a Pentecostal Christian household. And I thought that was such an interesting little tidbit into your backstory and also with coming out and being the person that you are. And I do love that there's these little moments, and Gabriella, I hope we have these with you as well, where we get to see those little peeks behind the curtain and realize you're a real person. Because I thought that was such a, you know, I was like, man, you've got such a story in you, Stephen, of how you've gotten to this point. Did you feel any trepidation about sharing personal stories like that?
I mean, a little bit, but I think it was important for me to get my story out there because we didn't really dive into this part of it. But part of me getting onto the show, I wasn't going to audition at all. I thought whenever I heard that there was going to be another show, I was like, this would be so perfect for me because it's Disney and Vanderpump. And those are my two favorite things coming together to create something. But on that same mind, I was like, but I'm obsessed with Vanderpump Rules. And I remember watching Jersey Shore and like A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila on MTV. I don't have the rock hard abs. I've always been I love being on my couch. I stopped partying years ago. I just wasn't the brand I thought that would ever be able to represent. So whenever Lisa called me personally and said, Stephen, I remember you in Vegas. You did so amazing for me. I want you to be a part of this. It was so validating to know that my work ethic is what made me memorable. And then I can represent the gay men out there who honestly, like I feel ostracized from my own community sometimes because I'm what they call straight skinny, but gay obese because we're so hard on ourselves. So to be able to represent the gays that aren't in the gym 24/7 and then partying in the nightclubs every night, it was just a nice feeling to have. And I thought it was important to get my story out for that reason. And I don't think you really get to hear a whole lot of stories from people that lived during Don't Ask, Don't Tell and then got to actually be part of the repeal as well. So that was a unique experience I got to be able to talk about.
That's beautiful. And also it just like, you know, our minds also lie to us. Like we tell ourselves all these negative things and it doesn't turn out to be the story because I found your story to be just as fascinating as watching Marciano pound down a bottle of tequila, you know?
I appreciate that.
But no, I think those are what makes this kind of reality show good is when you actually sense that you guys are real people. Now, Gabriella, did you go into this experience single?
I did. Yeah, I did. I'm dating always, but
you're dating always.
Very much single. Very much.
Now, in this past week's episode, you have to go pick up a cake with Andre, who is such a is presented as such a sweetheart in the first couple of episodes, and you say that he's very attractive, very nice, and listen, I don't know. You know, the audience hasn't seen where this all heads, but what was your experience like, with Andre in the first, like, were you immediately going like, I like this guy? Is Andre the type of guy that you would normally date in your real life?
You know, I don't really have a type. I've dated a many, many different types of men. So, oh my God, many, many, look at me. But I've dated a
this is why we're friends. This is why we're friends.
Right? No, but no, you know what it is? It's an energy thing for me. And of course, I look at Andre, he's very handsome. And, you know, once you get to know someone, and it was also very nice to meet someone like him without my phone in a beautiful
place. Oh my God, you're right.
Right? So like you do get the time, and this goes for anyone in the chateau, you know, connecting, and you guys will see things kind of unpack over the time in the next few episodes.
Oh, but you'll really see things, folks. Mm-hmm, you'll really see things.
No one will see things like I saw things.
Well, no, wait, so was that a rule, Gabriella? Is that you guys couldn't have your phones?
Yep, no phones.
I love that. I mean, that must have felt really weird at first, because we are so addicted to our phones that you must have felt really out of the loop.
Definitely. But honestly, it's crazy, because I mean, I'm always on my phone. I'm an event coordinator, right? That's what it is. That's the name of the game. But my God, it was the most beautiful detox. And of course, at times there was like, God, I wish I hadn't had my phone so I didn't have to talk to this girl sitting next to me. But, you know, like at times it was great, you know. So yeah, it definitely was very organic experience, a lot of interaction.
We're going to play a game in a second, but I do want to ask about the release of this. Because if you travel anywhere in Los Angeles, you're going to see a Vanderpump Villa billboard. You're going to see it on side of buses. I was actually in Vegas last week for a layover. I saw it promoted everywhere. What is it like, not coming from a TV background, to see all of a sudden your images plastered everywhere, and for these episodes to come out and people are going to start critiquing you guys as people? What has that experience been like for you both?
I actually saw the billboard in person for the first time last week during our premiere events here in Vegas. I live in Vegas, so I took advantage of the fact. And so I decided to actually not stay in the hotel, and I drove home from all the events. I got ready at home and I came back, parked at Caesars, walked over to the Paris, and I looked up at the horseshoe, and I'm in the back of the poster. I'm tiny on the poster. But I look up and my body is so huge, even with me in the back. I'm like, I'm on the strip and I'm so huge. Like, it was an immediate, like, tears just down my face. I was like, I never thought I would see my face on the Las Vegas Strip or on Times Square or in West Hollywood. And Disney and Hulu went out with this production and, like, this campaign. Like, it is just one of the coolest experiences ever to see my face, our faces, our work that we put so much effort into being shined and displayed like this. It's so cool.
Do you feel the same, Gabriella?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you're just overwhelmed with gratitude, but in a sense for me, I'm like, I did that. You know what I mean? I feel so powerful. I feel like everything I've manifested for myself, everything that, you know, I said I could possibly do, and just, you know, having some sort of a, you know, a platform to influence people and things like that. It's, everything is coming into fruition, and seeing that was just like that point of holy shit. And it makes you just reflect and you're like, wow, like really.
What a beautiful ad campaign though. I mean, like, I mean, just like truly those billboards are so beautiful.
Unreal,
and like,
unreal.
I think there is so much promotion for this because it's good. Like, this is and for you folks listening, if you have not started, we're only 4 episodes in. Each episode comes out on Monday. There's 10 episodes of this thing, and it is so bingeable, but it is so kind of, I love that they're kind of spacing it out, because I hope this continues to build an audience, because this is like, these are all new people. This is what we want. Lisa Vanderpump, you get to see her do scenes with all of these people. You get to see her do team meetings. It kind of is reminiscent of early, you know what, I'm not going to say the show. But I think it's really exciting.
I lived it. And last night I'm watching episode 4 and I'm like, I want the next one. What? I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, I know what's going to happen. Why do I want more? You know,
it's actually so funny though, because I feel like for me too, I'm watching a brand new show. You don't really get to see it much. I don't know what they're going to show moving forward. But I was definitely known, like, me and Chef Anthony, we were in bed first. So, like, a lot of the nighttime arguments and nighttime drama, I'm like, oh, that happened? Oh, Grace went off on Marciano like that? What?
That was crazy. I wasn't there for that either.
It was wild. I mean, that this Marciano was ruffling feathers from, like, with the telly situation in the first episode. I mean, okay, which, by the way, let's get to the game here. This episode of So Bad It's Good is sponsored by Hulu. Lisa Vanderpump has a new home on Hulu, and she has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. Vanderpump Villa! This show is as real as it gets. Lisa's staff work, live, and play all under the same roof at the magnificent French countryside villa, Chateau Rosabelle. You can catch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. We're going to play a game of, is it so bad or so good? Super easy. I just tell you a little scenario and you tell me if it's so bad or so good. Okay, so the first one, is it so bad or so good to work with your ex in the south of France?
So bad.
So bad. Okay, we're in agreement on that. Okay, that's great. That's a warm-up. Is it so bad or so good to hook up with a fellow employee during your stay at the chateau?
It's so good.
Okay, so good. And Gabriella, I want everybody to pay attention to Gabriella's so good, especially so good. Okay. Is it so bad or so good to disobey Lisa Vanderpump?
So bad.
You guys are nailing this. That's the correct answer on all three of these. And Steven, you especially know from experience, so that's great. Which, by the way, I mean, it is wild. I mean, did any of you guys, and Steven, like, when you're watching Marciano pound drinks with guests and, like, pass around, like, I mean, did anybody have a talk with Marciano? Did anybody besides Lisa Vanderpump, did you guys ever pull him aside and be like, watch it, bro, what's going on?
I definitely did, because at the end of the day, I opened the door for him. He walked through it. I'm not going to say I got him the job. I'm not ever going to say, like, you're here because of me. But in some ways, I'm the one that presented him to Lisa. I said, Lisa, he's been my server for almost 5 years. I only go to this restaurant to see him. He is one of the best servers I've ever had in my life. And so when I presented him, I presented the professional work ethic that I've seen as a guest to Marciano. So you kind of see it. The camera didn't really show her pointing at me too much, but in episode 2, whenever she's asking, like, how do you think it went? And Marciano kind of says, oh, we drank because we were a little nervous. Lisa kind of goes off and she's just like, according to this person, like, pointing at me, like, you are the best server in Las Vegas. Can't tell from that angle, but she was pointing at me and kind of scolding me in some ways. And I was just like, dude, Marciano, you're representing me right now. Like, I've been working here for 5 years. Don't tarnish my reputation because you want to partner.
Okay. Is it so bad or so good to fight in front of the guests?
So bad
for us, but so good for the audience.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a great like, event, because it is so bad. But I will say, you guys do seem to fight in front of the guests a lot, and that cracks me up, because the guests, you guys have to fill out a comment card afterwards, saying what the good or bad things is. But there seems to be no hesitation. People seem to forget that they're fighting in front of the guests, which is so fun to watch, but probably horrible.
Oh my god, the worst! Because I'm such a stickler for that as well.
We were constricted there too. It's not like we were allowed to escape the chateau. So it's hard to not be caught in front of the guests some way, shape, or form. We could be out in our quarters, and if our windows are open and the guests' windows are open, they're going to hear us.
Yep. You guys will see a little bit of...
Yes. Well, and also you'll see in the next set, is it so bad or so good to make out with one of the guests?
So good.
Oh, so good.
Okay, that's a toss up on that one. I don't know if you got that one exactly right, but
Steven and I about anything like that, it's gonna be good. We love that.
As long as the job gets done.
As we start winding down here, it seems like, you know, especially in the last episode, you guys were, you know, kind of paired up and stuff. Is that, Gabriella, especially you know, coming from your background, mm-hmm. What was your, like, daily duties in putting these things together? Like, we don't get to see a lot. Like, I think when you were off, Steven was like, these are edited down into 45-minute episodes. Was it really pounding the pavement trying to put these events together for you?
Definitely. I mean, they were really, really long days, and, you know, I don't know, viewers won't get to see it as much, and that's okay, because you see the final product, and if you know, you know how much work is put into that, working with vendors, you know, collaborating with Lisa to make sure that, you know, her vision was put into what we were doing. And she also let us have the creative freedom as well, which I enjoyed very much, because it's what I do. So, it was a lot of work, to put together, and you'll see how, you already seen how beautiful these dinners were. I mean, the whole atmosphere.
You get to see the concept drawings, like the concept drawings, even
exactly
going into these, we get to see are kind of amazing. And that's why I love it, is that it's a little bit of the guests. It's a lot of you guys. I love how those two things come together, and you got to see how this all works. As we finish up here though, is there one moment, favorite moment at the Chateau and least favorite moment at the Chateau for both of you?
Ooh, I haven't even thought about that.
For me, it was Harlan's Reflections dinner. I think everything, you know, Lisa set that out, and we had these mirrors for them, and we were just, you know, reflect on who you are, how beautiful you are, your strength, your power. And in that moment, you know, I explain to them, and then I sit back and I do the same thing. And I look at where I am, and I look at what I'm doing. And it was a really powerful moment for me. And Harlan was so, so happy and so grateful. And her story and that experience goes far beyond anything we're doing. So that was very moving for me. And worst moment. God.
Or least favorite.
Oh. I don't know. I'm such an optimist.
Come on, say it.
I mean, just dealing with Marciano and Hannah drama, it was just too much every day. I'm like, this is beyond me.
Who brings, like, the fact that they brought exes that end up sleeping in the same bed, and it gets crazy. They are so fun to watch, but I imagine it's so awkward to be around, especially at that first cast dinner when he's like a little tipsy and he's like, hey, this girl gave me the da da da. I like, who says that? You guys didn't even know Hannah yet.
The energy was just like intoxicating. So it was a lot, but you know.
Yeah. Well, that counts. Steven, what about you? What was your favorite moment?
Thank God I didn't have to think about the entire season, because Gabriella just reminded me we've only seen 4 episodes. So I'm going to go based off of that. My favorite moment, which wasn't really highlighted, but they were there. The first guests, I really befriended Jeremy and Scott. They were the gay couple. It was in Sharin's surprise engagement party. I was actually afraid to meet them when I saw their photos at the presentation, because I was like, oh, great, it's going to be gay guys that judge me and, you know, think I'm obese and make fun of me and whatnot, because that's what I deal with a lot in the real world. I deal with just gay men bringing me down. And so I met them. They were nice. But then that last night we had like heart to heart. We really got to know each other. And I think that we really built a good friendship that's going to move on from there. I really appreciated that, because I was like, okay, not everybody's a villain. And I think that was an important message for me to understand, is like, you do have people within your own community that you can rely on.
But by the way, you got to watch all 10 episodes. Each episode comes out on Mondays. Gabriella, are you in Vegas as well, or are you in Los Angeles?
I'm in Miami, beautiful Miami.
Oh my God. Okay, so Steven let us know before we came on that he has to go work. He's managing another Vegas bar right now, right after this. Gabriella, what are you doing today? I always like to know what the rest of your day looks like.
I am working until 10 p.m. today. Actually, after this, I'm running to the restaurant, because I have dinners planned, events, and then I have to work all night. So that's me.
See, this is real people. Like, this is what I'm talking about, guys. You got to go support this show, because they're out there
My
doing
boss is
this.
Blowing me out.
She's got to get. She's late for work potentially. So Vanderpump Villa every Monday on Hulu. You can catch up at any time. I really think this is so well worth your time. And you got to. I'm so lucky to talk to you guys now before you blow up and get famous and all of that stuff. So I really appreciate your time today. And I think you got a little piece of magic in this show. So congratulations. And I really can't wait to talk to you guys again.
I just want to say one thing, because you asked Gabriella, but you didn't ask me. I just want the world to know my type is Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill, if you're out there.
Henry's a big listener of the show. So Henry, I'm sure you're listening. Look Steven up. He has the fancy ear jewelry on. That's how you'll always know him. But I really appreciate you guys being here today, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Trust me, Vanderpump Villa is serving reality. You are not going to want to miss out on this amazing new series, so make sure you check out new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now streaming on Hulu. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.